Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 34 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled Dead Ducks Don't Flutter. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
The title of this week is Dead Ducks Don't Flutter. Now you say, well, Alan, what has that got to do with this day in which we're living? That's the reason I want to read you this story. Dead ducks don't flutter. So let's read this little story here. Now here's the lesson of this story. As we're doing Proverbs, we're trying to capture the spirit of Proverbs. A book of Proverbs is not teaching you a book line upon line, even though in the center of the book of Proverbs, in the beginning, it's kind of in three divisions. But the book of Proverbs is the spirit of the book of Proverbs. It's the spirit of wisdom, which we'll see is called chuchmah in Hebrew, but it's the spirit of wisdom. And the spirit of wisdom is learning part of who God is. That's all. Say, that's all. That's big, isn't it? That's all. But it's to understand that people want to learn how to walk in the Spirit and to be a strong Christian and all of these things. But we need to understand that wisdom's not something that's just laying out there on a shelf somewhere. Wisdom is part of who God is. And the wisdom that it teaches us in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is the eyesight of the prophetic. Wisdom is the eyesight of the prophetic. Wisdom shows us how to see into a situation. I'm going to give you a little example with this story as we begin this week's teaching. Finding wisdom in struggling. Anybody ever struggled? You know, usually struggling leaves us at a place of failure or I'm behind. There's a lot of different definitions we have to when we struggle. But to a Christian, there's more to that story. Dead ducks don't flutter. And here it goes. Many years ago, a wealthy man went duck hunting with a hired hand named Sam. They took a horse and carriage, and along the way, a rim came off one of the wheels. As Sam hammered it back on, he accidentally hit his finger. Instantly, he let go with some bad words. He quickly fell to his knees, as all of us would have, asking God's forgiveness. Lord, it's difficult at times to live the Christian life, he prayed. Sam, said the boss man, I know you're a Christian, but tell me why you struggle so. I am an atheist, and I don't have problems like that. Sam didn't know what to say. Just then, two ducks flew overhead. The boss man raised his gun, and two shots rang out. And then he said, leave the dead one and go after the wounded bird, the boss man shouted. Sam pointed at the duck that was fluttering desperately to escape and said, I've got an answer for you now, boss. So here he shot the two birds. One was dead, one was fluttering, and he was taken off after the fluttering duck, and he said, ah, it came to him. I've got an answer for you, boss. You said my Christianity isn't any good because I have to struggle so. Well, I'm the wounded duck and struggle to get away from the devil, but you, boss, you're the dead duck. Oh, boy. Have you almost been a dead duck? You see, the wisdom in this story and the wisdom that you'll see in Proverbs and truly the wisdom in comparison to this story is in the book of Ecclesiastes is to struggle means you're still alive. The struggle is you're still in the game. You're still worth shooting at. You're welcome. I can tell y'all are very excited about my point. And as we look at life, we're not wanting to look at it. We want to look in it. We want to look in it. Now, this is the scripture that I would put with dead ducks don't flutter. If For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, do that. If I then I do not do that which I would not, I consent unto law that is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, not. But the evil which I do not, that I do. Y'all know the famous scripture that we all read and don't understand. This famous scripture is it's just like it's hard to do what I should do, and I'll do what I shouldn't do. The only thing I can tell you is you're still fluttering.
That's right. Come on.
You're still fluttering. You maybe have been shocked, but you're still fluttering. And so when we start seeing the Christian life and the wisdom of the flutter, then we can say, okay, I'm at least still worth shooting at. And the enemy is shooting. The enemy is doing that. And in this day and time that we're living in, just go outside of your home and get shot. Amen? Or stay in your home. I saw this little cartoon this week. I thought it was interesting. There again, I don't like to talk about controversial things, but he's talking about COVID and people getting sick with COVID. But in this little caption, it was a farmer. And this farmer was talking to two Amish farmers. And the farmer asked the two Amish farmers, he said, why do y'all not get COVID? Why do y'all not get sick? And the Amish farmer looked at him and said, oh, we don't watch TV. Now, I'll let you figure the wisdom out in that one. Wisdom is the spiritual gravity. I made this statement a couple weeks ago. Of the natural world, but you can't see it, but it affects everything. I don't know if you've ever looked at the Bible Project online. They go, it's just great. I look at some of that and some of these teachings and understandings come through that. I invite you to look at that. But wisdom is spiritual gravity of the natural world. You can't see it, but it affects everything. Now just let that soak in just a minute. Wisdom is a spiritual gravity of the natural world. In other words, if you're still fluttering, how do you bring that back down to the earth? How does that make any sense? It's through wisdom. There's more to the story than meets the eye. So, wisdom tells me all of the stories that you're hearing, there's more to it than you're hearing. So, wisdom doesn't say bring a conclusion to a story that you don't have all the story. Don't bring a conclusion to any story, just listen. Is everybody with me? We're so quick to jump to a conclusion. Now, what's the problem with that? It's because when we jump to conclusions, they're usually not real good conclusions. They're usually a judgment. And then what happens? What does the Bible say about a judgment? It'll then come upon you. Well, I must have been right because there it is. And then your pride gets to swell up on how smart we are. It's not wise to come to conclusions, especially on all of these stories that we're hearing. Now, the way that it helps me hear the Holy Spirit is because I am learning the art of not bringing what I'm hearing to a conclusion. You see, the conclusions are what builds a wall up to the Holy Spirit. A conclusion brings a wall up from hearing the Spirit. If you've already thought it through and come up with a conclusion, your spirit's not open to the answer. It's concluded. It's the way that the spiritual world works, or the human spirit works. In other words, if you have a thought, if something happens in your life, could be a crisis or traumatic, and just you can think of something, and it keeps coming up every day, every day, every day, every other day, every other day. All of a sudden, this thought it's been going on for 20 years, perhaps. This thought keeps cycling through your brain, through your mind. Well, how do you stop that? A thought has to come to a conclusion before it stops. A thought is constantly looking for its conclusion so it can stop. So what the human spirit does, it brings conclusions to thoughts real quick so we don't get anybody felt overwhelmed. So it's just an automatic sequence we have. We will bring things to conclusion. So the COVID shot, should I get it, should I not? Or COVID, is it this or that? Did it come from a monkey, chimpanzee, or a worm somewhere? I got to bring it to a conclusion, yet I don't really have enough information to bring it to a conclusion. And if I did, it would take my life for the next 2 weeks to research it. So it's okay to not bring it to one. It's okay just to leave that thought there and wait for the Holy Spirit to bring a conclusion. If it's a judgment, the conclusion is the cross of Christ. It's the cross of Christ. So I have a thought, something happened, a crisis in my life. And so this just keeps going on and on and on and on. Well, let me do this one, which nobody's probably experienced. But have you ever been offended? If you haven't, I've got a couple extras that I'll be glad to loan you. Same way with offense. Offense, it's a thought. It doesn't have a conclusion to it. So it keeps running and it keeps running and keeps running. So that thought's got to come to a conclusion. So the Bible tells us we take it to the cross of Christ. We lay it at His feet. We release it at His feet. We trust Christ with the conclusion. We get up, walk away, and then that thought has come to a conclusion and it'll quit haunting you every day of your life. It's the way it works. So what happens with these proverbs? What happens with wisdom? What happens with all this information that's out here today? Well, the one word I'd like for you to consider is, don't bring all of these suggestions to a conclusion. Wait and allow the Holy Spirit of God to bring it to a conclusion. Trust me, if you leave it unconcluded and ask for the Spirit to speak, guess what? The Holy Spirit will speak to you. But you got to drown out this noise of the world. Listen, I'm into sales. And I'm going to brag on myself. You got to be pretty good to sell cow poop. Now, you'll have to admit that. You got to give me that one. You got to get pretty. There is so much in sales out there today and all of this stuff. It's taken on a new level of sales. It's almost like you can't even consider it much because it's given as fact. Right? It's so much is given as fact. And then all of a sudden, it's amazing how we will believe people we don't even know and we won't hear a word of people we do know. It's like the more of a stranger they are, the more qualified they are. I don't get it. But it's just the way we work. Well, in this day and time, there is so much information for us to consider. You don't have time to research it all out. So I'm saying, and I'm going to show you here in a minute, I wouldn't bring all this stuff to a conclusion. I would listen to it without concluding it and pray about it and say, God, what should I do in this situation? Now, I am convinced the Holy Spirit of God has been put here to guide us unto all truth. I am convinced. And for some reason, we want to use it like a spare tire. Have you ever seen your spare tire on your car? It can't go as fast as the original. It'll make you go a little crooked, too. So what is the point? It is believers and as Christians, our daily walk with God is at such a deficit that when we get into these trying times, we don't know who to listen to. It should be second nature to us to go to God and hear His voice. But I'm making a confession to you of me. I am not there. But guess what? I don't know if you realize, I might be ahead of you, but I realize I'm not, and I've got to play catch up real quickly. I said several months ago, my quest now is to know more of who the Holy Spirit of God is, to have a relationship with Christ in me, the hope of glory. A lot of prophetic people are wanting to have an experience and go to heaven. I'm wanting to go inward and see who Christ is. Who is Christ in me, the hope of glory? I don't have near good enough a relationship with the Christ that's in me. I can't hear his voice like I should. But are you also not persuaded we could? I really am. I am so persuaded that I could hear his voice on a daily basis so much that this life is a breeze as far as bringing thoughts to conclusions. Now, so wisdom is a spiritual gravity of nature, of the natural world. You can't see it, but it reflects or affects everything. And every struggle is a thread of wisdom just waiting to be discovered and applied. Are you with me? In every struggle is a thread of wisdom just waiting to be discovered and applied. And there again, wisdom is bringing the truth of how God thinks into any given situation. Why? Because wisdom is there in everything. Now, it is a spiritual force that cannot be seen. Wisdom is a great part of who God is. Chokmah is the biblical Hebrew word. Now, I want us to look at it just a little more this morning, of this biblical Hebrew word of wisdom. Let's go just a little deeper. Let's see what does it mean. Chokmah is moral truth that is woven in all creation. That's the reason I say it's laying there, and it's there. We must look for it. In Exodus 31, now look at this scripture here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Beelzebul, the son of Ur, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom. You see that? Does anybody want to ask God for that one? Lord, I just pray right now that you will fill us with the Spirit of God in this class, in this setting. I pray that you'll fill us with the Spirit of God and in wisdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Chokmah, and in understanding. You see that? In wisdom and understanding. And in what? And in knowledge and in all matter of what? Workmanship. So God put in this guy the spirit of wisdom, also understanding, also put in him workmanship. So Chokmah, spiritual wisdom from God, shows you how to fix it. It's a workmanship. You see that? It shows you how to take that word that you're giving and work it and create something. That's the word of wisdom that's used when God created the universe. Chokmah, wisdom of God, is used in creation. So here, that same word is used. This is Moses. They were building the tabernacle in the wilderness. And God says, okay, Moses, I'm filling this guy with this wisdom. And this wisdom from God is going to show him what to do, how to do. He's going to understand how to do it. And not only that, it's going to create him into a craftsman that can do this workmanship. Are you with me? So God has saved us and filling us with his Spirit so that we'll be full of his wisdom to make us all in here of craftsmen unto every good work. We know how to work it out and to create something that God would create. So this is, consider that. So this is what happened here. Wisdom is a gift that allows a person to understand things from God's point of view. Now, wouldn't that be nice? You see, how do you know if you're looking at something from your point of view? It would read like this. Fear is a gift that allows a person to understand things from my point of view. That's the way it would read. See, when you look at things from your point of view, from my point of view, it creates, it's fear It's well, I could put in there pride, but we're going to call it right now fear. And we think that we know it all. So wisdom allows a person to recognize truth. Now, I'll be honest with you, that to me is huge in this day and time. There's so much information out there. How do you know what is the truth? I think I shared with you that as I've been conscious in my life here lately to say, God, I want to speak more truth. I want to say things that are true. And I found out that I wasn't very truthful all the time, and I didn't say things like, in other words, I was way too lazy in my thinking. I thought, well, I'll just throw this out. Partial truth is not the whole truth. Just to throw out something, you can say, well, so anyway, I'm not going to confess all my sins in front of you, but I have discovered since I am conscious that I could do a lot better in the truth arena, that I have noticed I am recognizing truth when I hear it. It's amazing. Now, I'm not saying I go around and say, well, you know, sticking a sticky on everybody, whether you're the truth or you're not the truth. I'm just saying when I hear things, I'm like, I can just tell. That's not true. Well, I'm understanding the Holy Ghost is saying that's not true. Well, this is true. And so it's really fun, I guess you could say, as I confess sin. And the Holy Spirit's really helping me with it. Either I was in bad shape or he's really wanting me to get it right. I'm not sure which it is. But the Holy Spirit is really helping me in being more truthful. And it is, there again, I'm really ashamed to stand before you trying to teach Bible, confessing that sin. But I'm doing better. I am doing better. So, but it is really, I'm having a supernatural experience with the truth of God. And to be able to recognize it more is very exciting to me with this day. But that's when I discovered I can't judge something. I can't come to a conclusion on something. I can't judge it. I can't accumulate all of this evidence to equal a truth. And I've said it to you before, the accumulation of evidence does not equal a spiritual truth. You know, I mean, come on, you go to God. Yeah, God, I got an army of 10,000. He said, too many. Yeah, God, but we're going against 50,000. Too many. Cuts them in half. God, too many. Too many. You see, the way God thinks is not, you cannot accumulate evidence to equal a spiritual truth. You just can't do it because God's ways are not our ways. So if you want to run with God, you're going to have to let something go. So here we go. A person with the gift of wisdom can take this truth and use it to glorify God by choosing godly solutions to problems. And a lot of you will find when you came to Christ or as God is calling you into a gift that he's developing in you, you'll notice that people will come to you for answers. Then the first thing I have people come to all the time, Alan, people are just aggravating the stew out of me. They don't know this, won't know that. And I said, wow, that's remarkable. That's incredible that people are coming to you because, you see, the gift will draw the people. It just so happens sometimes we're not up to speed with where God's calling us. That's what happens. So, but you can catch on. So here we go. To live using wisdom was introduced to the world through Solomon. Chokmah uses God's knowledge plus action. Now, that's what we started seeing. Wisdom tends to be an action. It tends to give an answer. It tends to be an action word. That's the reason it says a craftsman, a workman will have this type, chokmah, or this type of wisdom. Chokmah does not redefine good and evil. Got to be very careful there. And true wisdom is humble. Now, in 1 Kings, y'all, here's the story of Solomon. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Now, when God gave him wisdom and understanding, what did he have to do to his heart? God increased his heart, or his spiritual heart, which is passion, compassion. God increased his heart so that he could impart wisdom and understanding. So wisdom and understanding probably will not fit in our hearts in their present size. So God allows things in our life to stretch us. Anybody been stretched lately by God? He gives us things to stretch us. We want to fight it, right? But God wants us to yield. Usually repent. And repentance, now just listen, consider this. Repentance is the action of God enlarging your heart. You want more wisdom? Get ready to repent, is all I can tell you. Why? Because God needs the room to put in you wisdom and understanding. And then he increases your heart. Now, as we go on, and Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than all of these men there. And his fame was in all nations round about. In other words, everyone knew of this wisdom. Watch, look at this. It's incredible. And he spake 3,000 proverbs. I couldn't even read 3,000, much less speak them. And his songs were 1,005. I can't even sing 1,005. His songs were 1,005. To me, that's just amazing. Now, let's look at the scripture here. It says, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. Now, a lot of people don't understand this. The impartation that God made to Solomon was in a dream. Is that not wild? I don't know about you. Some of my dreams, I don't want them imparted. Anybody with me? I've had a few dreams that were prophetic that I know I got impartation in dreams. But I've discovered, as my heart's enlarged, as I seek the wisdom of God, I have sought wisdom or thinking like God thinks, as I seek it, I have noticed that my dreams change. It affects my dreams. Call me crazy if you will, but there's some movies and things I can't watch because I know it's going to imprint my dreams. But anyway, that's dreams. That's another day. But what I want us to see is God appeared to Solomon in a dream. There again, it says, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. Now make that one work. Try to logic that one out. How does God appear in a dream? I thought a dream was a place of make-believe. Well, maybe sometime. Not this dream. Here we go. It's in 1 Kings, for your reference, in chapter 3, verses 3 through 15. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, what we want to consider here is Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings. In other words, it cost him something. He had to give up something. We want God, for some reason, to impart and bless and give, and it cost us nothing. Now, salvation was free, but it cost somebody something. And salvation is free in the Christian life. Everything after that costs you something. So here we see that this wisdom cost Solomon something. He gave it, the outward expression was these sacrifices. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. But I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Now, there's different, people have different ideas of how old he was. Anywhere from 13 to 18 is kind of the general rule of thumb, but more 10 towards the age of 14 or 15, somewhere along in there. So you can see the context here that he's, what he's alluding to here. Also, he said that what he had gained was because of what somebody before him had done. You see that? And so what's holding his humility is that he has enough sense, if you want to say it that way, to honor those that went before him. So there's something to do with honoring to receive in the Spirit. In other words, everything we inherit in Christ, we're to honor those that went before us because we're inheriting more than we sowed. We're reaping more than we sowed. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what we are experiencing today in our Christianity in this wonderful country, for us to honor those that went before us in the nation, in the Scriptures, to be aware of that honor is huge. It's paramount in the beginnings of receiving from God. So as Solomon has given us this example of his spiritual state of mind before he received this great worldwide wisdom that actually changed the earth, we can see the mindset, the frame of mind he was in, and this is what we call humility. He's in a place of humility, and place of humility equals honoring those that are to be honored. Huge deal. So here we see this, and he says, "But a little child, I know not how to go out or come in." Then it goes on to say, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." You see that? "For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. It's if there's ever been a time, I'm sure other times are just as important, but I wasn't living then. If there's ever been a time that we needed to be able to distinguish between good and bad, it's now. You say, "Well, Alan, it's not harder to say." Yes, it is, because the lines are getting so blurred now. It's getting so blurred, it is really going to take the wisdom of God to make a distinction to where it's gotten blurred. So then he goes on, and we see that Solomon, thinking like this or in this frame of mind, that it pleased the Lord. So here we go. "And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart." Now, it's amazing to me how wisdom and understanding are there. They're kind of like your two brothers or something. Wisdom and understanding. Now, I don't have a great gift of memorization. I don't memorize that well. You let me understand something and I can't forget it. In other words, if I tear a motor apart, I can rebuild it because I can put it back together if I tore it apart. Why? Because I have the understanding it creates. So we have wisdom and understanding go together. Spiritual wisdom takes understanding to be retained. We can memorize the book of Proverbs, but without understanding, it's just memorization. We're talking about it imprinted into the spirit. So understanding imprints spiritual wisdom. I'll show you this in a little bit. Now here we go on. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. See, God just gave him a whole ball of wax, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you in these days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Now, Solomon didn't ask for that. What Solomon asked for was for another. You see that? So what Solomon asked for was so he could be a bigger, greater servant to the people. That touched God's heart because that was his attitude. He honored those that went before him, and his heart was for those that he was going to serve. And God said, okay, since you've asked such a good thing, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give you a bunch of horses and chariots and riches. And I'm even going to let you live longer. Which, if you would have asked Solomon in his later days, he probably lived to regret. But nonetheless, that's what happened. It says, and Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all of his servants. Solomon awoke. He was in a dream. And God imparted unto him this gift in a dream. I hope and that we consider that also Solomon is but a man, as we all are. And women. He's just a man who honored and had others in mind unto whom he was going to serve. That was his key. So here we go again. From then on, it says, Solomon became known for his great wisdom, and that people from all over the earth came to hear his words. With his understanding, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs and composed 1,005 songs. Many of those proverbs are within this book, it says. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kinds of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. It says, all the kings of earth which had heard of his wisdom. As Christians, as a church, as believers, I would to God that it could be told of New Life that if you want to know the wisdom of God, you need to go there. They hear from God. They have the wisdom of God. Now, one thing about the wisdom of God is slow to answer. Have you noticed that? It's slow. The wisdom of God tends to be slow to answer. Now, I don't know if he's slow or if we're hard of hearing. In Solomon's case, it was in a dream. But God still imparted. Now, I want to move on here. Proverbs, I just got a few minutes. Proverbs are principles, not necessarily promises. Principles are a path. So as we start grasping the book of Proverbs, here's what we want to understand. You got three books, I've said, that are wisdom books. It's Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And Ecclesiastes looks like almost the opposite of Proverbs. But those are the three wisdom books. And the reason is Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job gives us the whole scope of the reality of life. Now, you've got to start viewing Proverbs. We are in a foreign land representing a foreign government. We are in a hostile territory. Since that is true, we're trying to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. So as we speak the kingdom of God messages, phrases, words to the earth, we're in hostile territory. Did you know that it's not always heard? Did you know some people oppose it? Why? We're in hostile territory. So when we're speaking Proverbs on the earth in this type of environment, we start seeing that. We start seeing that Proverbs, what I'm trying to convey, I don't feel like I'm doing a very good job, is the thinking, the wisdom of Proverbs is showing a path in life to walk. It's good suggestions, if you will, to go this way. Now, God is guiding us into how He's thinking. The principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as the foundation of a system or belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. You see that? A biblical principle. As Christians, we're in this mode of, I'm going to do this so God will do this. A principle means that it's a fundamental truth or a proposition that serves as a foundation, it says, for a system of belief or behavior, or it's a chain of reasoning. So it is a biblical principle is something that you choose. It's a foundational thought that we choose to live on. It's not with any particular outcome. I'm not going to do this, God, because you're going to do this for me. If you got to answer that question, you're not getting it. You know, you're just not getting it. It's the wrong question. Foundational thinking of the will of God. So when we start seeing wisdom, as a wisdom is seeing and hearing the character of God, wisdom shows you where the will of God is wanting to take you. Now, I've said this before, the will of God doesn't always happen, you know. The will of God is always seeking. Now watch this. The will of God is always seeking a favorable outcome through divine principles. Now I hope you can hear that. And I'll give you just a second to read it again. The will of God is always seeking a favorable outcome. In other words, God is always seeking a favorable outcome for you and for me. God's got you in mind. God doesn't have anybody with, it is not His will to have a bad outcome. God, the will of God is always seeking. All right, if the will of God is seeking and you understand wisdom is that instrument or that tool, if you will, the will of God, if we can see that wisdom is that part of God that directs us in this path headed towards a favorable outcome. And that's what divine principles do. All right, I'm going to have to stop right there. I am 2 minutes over. We'll pick up here next week, be it the will of God and His divine wisdom. We'll be here. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love You and we thank You for this day. Lord God, I do ask and pray that if there's anything that I've said that's not of You, I ask and pray, oh God, that it'll just totally fall to the ground. Lord God, if there's anything that I've said out of Your wisdom, out of Your heart, out of Your understanding, I pray, oh God, that this group of people, those watching online, I pray, oh God, that Your wisdom would saturate us, that we might hear Your voice on how You would like for us to proceed in our lives so that this outcome that You seek for us is a favorable one. That even though there's many crises all around us, you say that we can walk in blessings, not curses. We can walk in all kinds of health and wealth. And so, Lord God, it's my prayer that this wisdom would fall upon your people, that we might be guilty of being the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.